If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions. Eagles fans everywhere, this is for you. Let the celebration begin.
We made it. It's July. We are past the 6 month mark of 2020. It feels like it took at least 10 years to get here.
It really does. I was, I was writing about something that happened in the NFC Championship game in one of my stories, and it was like 5 months ago. And I mean, it literally, yeah, it seems like years ago. It's hard to remember that there was actually, football in January and February. It's a crazy time, but, hey, every day that we get through, we're one day closer to the other side. So just staying positive. And at some point, there's going to be football. There's going to be basketball. There's going to be baseball and hockey and everything. I don't know when it's going to be, but, man, when it happens, it's going to be a happy day.
That's right. This is the Eagle Eye Podcast presented by Mercedes-Benz of Fort Washington, Westchester, and Atlantic City with Ruben Frank. I'm Dave Zangaro. I'm happy to celebrate getting into July because this is the month. We're supposed to have training camp. We'll see if that happens. We're going to talk a little bit about training camp and the preseason reportedly getting cut in half. A report out there about possible roster cuts coming before training camp even starts to try to limit the amount of people. We're also going to get into the latest five guys on the most important Eagles of 2020, the list we've been doing on Quick Slam.
I thought we were talking about five guys. All right. I'm sorry. Misunderstood.
Like hamburgers?
Yeah.
We can talk about hamburgers too if you want. It's 4th of July weekend. I feel like that's a natural tie-in. And then we're going to get into your best and worst running back performances in Eagles history. Did those two stories this week. But we have to start with kind of the big news of the week, really, of the last few weeks. A report from Pro Football Talk, and it has since been verified and corroborated by other outlets. But the preseason this year, it seems like it's going to be cut from 4 games to 2. That's big news. I mean, this is, aside from the Hall of Fame game, this is the first time football has canceled something. It's significant. And the Eagles, it looks like, will still play New England and Miami. We don't know when those games will be. It doesn't look like they're going to keep the same schedule, but it is significant that this preseason's been chopped in half.
Yeah, and I mean, I think this is something that the league was talking about even before this all happened, even before the pandemic started, was shortening the preseason. So I'm guessing that we're not getting those other two games back. I hope you're okay with that, Dave. I think the days of the 4-game preseason are over, no matter what's going on. So it makes sense in a lot of ways. I don't think you need 4 games. It's going to cut down the length of the preseason. It's smart in a lot of ways, but I think the significant thing is what you just alluded to. The Hall of Fame game got canceled, earlier this week. And now this, it's really the first time the NFL has been really kind of, putting up a brave front as the season, is going on. Everything's moving forward. We're having the draft, we're having free agency. Because of the timing of the pandemic, the NFL was able to – I mean, it started right after the league finished, right after the Super Bowl, a few weeks later. So while baseball and hockey and basketball all had to do immediate things to cancel, football's always been out there as, by football season, everything's going to be fine. And I think this is the first kind of real acknowledgement that that's not the case, that this is not just going away as quickly as we all hoped, and that it's gonna, it's already taking a bite out of the football season. And hopefully this is not the tip of the iceberg, but I mean, common sense says there's more to come as far as you know, NFL-related cancellations and postponements, and it's going to be more than just two preseason games. I hope I'm wrong. I've been saying that all along, but that's where it's going. I mean, this is not getting better. It's getting worse in a lot of states, and there are a lot of states that have NFL teams. So, you know, if they can find a way to play 16 games, I'll be thrilled. If they can find a way to play 10 or 12, I'll be thrilled. But we're really seeing the first real signs that this is affecting the NFL, and I'm afraid that they're not going to be the last.
Yeah, and I looking back, I kind of agree with the way the NFL handled it. They went this whole time saying, hey, if this does get to a point where we're able to have a season and a normal season, we have to be ready for it. So, you know, I think at the time, both of us had our reservations about them going forward with the draft and free agency, especially free agency when they did it, because that was really kind of when things started to get bad in a lot of places in the country. But they went full steam ahead, and they got to the point now where if they can have this season, they're kind of set up for it. As long as they get, if they get a training camp, teams will be ready to play. And to me, that was important. You had to take those steps, because if it did clear up and you didn't take those steps, then you'd be sitting here now going, we're not ready for this. We're not ready for the season. So I give them credit for the way they handled it. Now it is tricky. And you joked about the preseason games, but – and we're going to talk about the roster reductions. Preseason games are a chance for some guys to show their worth who don't get a lot of opportunities otherwise. And, you know, those bottom-of-the-roster guys are who I really feel for in this whole situation, because a lot of these guys get one chance to make the NFL. You know, if you're an undrafted kid from Morgan State or wherever you're from and you're trying to make a team – by next year, there's going to be a new class of rookies, whether or not there's a college football season. So this might be your one chance to play in an NFL game, honestly. Even if you don't have the ability to stick in the league long term, you should have a chance to play in this league, at least for a few preseason games. So I feel for those guys. You're right, though. Eventually, the preseason was going to get cut. Whenever the 17th game comes into effect, the preseason was going to get cut. And that always made sense. And the joint practices are a big part of this. You know, Doug Peterson last year had those joint practices with the Ravens, and then they went like half speed in that preseason game to the point where we had that lightning delay and they were like, everyone just go home. Like, we don't even need it. So you can't have those joint practices this year either. So that's a big part of this. Those joint practices kind of, for a lot of coaches, they almost replace a preseason game, because you get real football activity. You're able to control it better, so you get a better evaluation, but you're not allowed to do that this year. And I wonder just how normal practices are going to be this summer, and if you can replicate game action on a field in the middle of summer at your complex.
Yeah. I enjoy preseason games. I know I'm in the minority, but I like seeing those young guys play. I like seeing the young, you know, the sixth and seventh round draft picks get a chance to play a full game. And sometimes you find a guy that way, you know, you like seeing those Henry Joseys and those guys and seeing what they can do. You just think about how many opportunities to evaluate players teams are losing. I mean, OTAs, all the OTAs and mini camps, it's going to be two preseason games and training camps could be shorter. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot of opportunities to evaluate your players. And it's, you know, I think it's going to really put a premium on, you know, really kind of knowing what you have and knowing what your players can do. And I'm not sure exactly how you do that without practices and games and OTAs and joint practices, but no, they're going to have to find a way.
Yeah, I think this season, if there is a season, we're probably going to see teams, if there's a toss-up between two players, go with the guy who either has more experience or who has a better base of knowledge in that offensive or defensive scheme, because you've already lost all the spring. Who knows what this summer is going to be like? So a lot of those either undrafted rookies or guys who were undrafted last year who never got a chance to play, they might be on the chopping block, which kind of brings us to our next part of this. Mike Jones from USA Today had an interesting report that the NFL is contemplating cutting down rosters even before training camp, getting it to 80 or 75 players just to try to help the social distancing aspect of all this. 90 guys is a lot. 75 guys is a lot too, but it's probably a little more feasible to social distance when you have fewer guys like that. So you went through the roster. I like the way you did it, looking at it from an Eagles perspective, trying to figure out which guys might be in danger if they have to narrow this down. So I kind of put together my own list of guys who I think might be in trouble. You want me to go through some of these names?
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell me if you think I'm on. So the top two, you know, Brandon Brooks and Deshaun Hall are both injured. Normally, you probably wouldn't put a guy on IR this early, but if they can do that, and the league might have to kind of make some of their policies a little looser, you know, because you should be able to put Deshaun Hall right now on reserve PUP and not put it, because the guys on the active PUP count toward a roster, they count as a roster spot. So if you're going to make teams limit, that would make sense. Those two guys are hurt. They're not going to practice. Get them off the roster right now so you can have those spots for other guys. And then I'll just kind of go through these names. Casey Tucker, offensive tackle. He was an easy one for me. Keegan Render, a center. They like him, but they have other guys to play center. They have Nate Herbig, and they just brought in Luke Jurigo from Central Michigan.
Gave him a big bonus.
Big bonus, the biggest bonus they gave out. So I think of all the undrafted guys, he's probably the safest. And the funny thing is, they just paid all these undrafted guys to come in, but now they don't have a chance to evaluate them, so you wonder what they're going to do. Like, the guys they gave significant money to in the undrafted class, are they in danger? I mean, would they just cut their losses and say, this kind of sucks, so we couldn't evaluate you, but sorry, we're going to go with the guys we know can at least do.
I'm going to interrupt you. I think there is a chance of that. I think if you're looking for a backup center, you know, do you want the guy that you haven't seen that you gave $100,000 to and a bonus, or do you want the guy that you had in your, you know, in your building for a year or 2 years? I guess in Herbig's case, I think he's been here 2 years.
One year.
No, who am I thinking of? The other. But anyway, yeah. You know, a guy that you know that you've, you know, you've had in your meeting rooms, you know, it's not an ideal situation. You might like the other guy's upside more, but, you know, if that guy might have to play in September. You want the guy that's been around.
Yeah, and that's kind of the next part of this that I ran into trouble with. I have two defensive tackles on my list, Bruce Hector and Albert Huggins, who both played last year. So would they elect to keep these guys now, or would they want to get a look at Raekwon Williams from Michigan State? My thought process here was they kind of know what they have in Huggins and Hector. Maybe they want to take a look at the kid and see if he's better, you know? And if you lose Albert Huggins because of that, not so what, but, like, it's not a huge loss. And I think they like Anthony Rush too much at that position to just get rid of him. A couple corners, Tre'Mon Smith and Craig James. Now, Craig James has a chance to stick around because he has the special teams ability, but I don't know if that's enough. A bunch of receivers could be cut because they drafted a bunch. They brought in Marquise Goodwin, so – Shelton Gibson, who only got brought back last year to play special teams in the playoff game. Deontay Burnett, Robert
Davis. Well, wait a minute. He had the Eagles' biggest offensive play in the playoff game.
He did. He didn't catch a ball, but it was a big play.
He got in someone's way. He fell down. He did.
I mean, Deontay Burnett, Robert Davis, Marcus Green. I think all those guys.
Yeah.
You know, and they have a couple undrafted receivers, too. I mean, Manessa Bailey, I think he's the Morgan State kid. I'm getting them all confused now. But he's, I think he has a better shot to stick than some of those other receivers. Khalil Tate is one I don't think has much of a chance to stick. He was the college quarterback turned receiver. Not a good year for projects.
Yeah.
It just isn't. If you're one of those project kids who's really changing position, you're out of luck this year, I think. And then the last two.
He's the first guy I thought of. Yeah. I mean,
it's just a tough situation. Yeah. You don't have the time for projects right now. Prince Smith, undrafted cornerback, didn't get a lot of guaranteed money. I don't think any guaranteed money, or maybe like $7,000. And then Rudy Ford, You have safety options. I mean, you brought in Will Parks. You have Jalen Mills. You have Marcus Epps, who's younger, played more on defense. They liked Rudy Ford as a special teamer, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's cut. And then I'll give you one more name who I didn't put on this list, but honestly, I wouldn't be shocked. Rasul Douglas. They already made him take a pay cut. And maybe they just say, you know what, we don't think he's going to make the final roster. Maybe we just cut him now.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but he could also be a starter. You know, he can be anywhere from a starter to being cut before training camp starts. I kind of think they won't, just because he started, what, 18 games over the last few years. They know they can get through a game with him. There's a lot of question marks at corner.
I was trying to find one guy like that who was like maybe a surprise if they had to do this.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me, but I wouldn't expect it.
Okay. Yeah. Another guy we haven't talked about, and this is a little off on a tangent, but Trevor Williams, cornerback, who has some significant experience, has played at a high level in this league. No one's talked about him, but he's a guy to watch if we ever have a training camp.
Yeah, I think it's going to come down to known quantity versus unknown quantity. And all other things being equal, they're going to keep the guy that's been in their building.
Yeah, I think maybe eventually that's the case. But if we're talking about this initial cut, if they're hoping to have a training camp, there's two ways to look at it. The one way is what you just said, that they want to stick with the known commodity. But if you're talking about going into an evaluation period, there might be a benefit in looking at some of these players who you haven't seen. And if you cut, say you cut Shelton Gibson, yeah, there's a chance another team picks him up, but there's also a chance he stays on the street. And if you figure out later that you need him, you can give him a call. And that's another thing. I wonder in this weird season, if the Eagles can kind of give a nudge, nudge, wink, wink to a guy and say, hey, we're going to cut you. Go home and quarantine, work out, stay ready, because we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to have two receivers end up with COVID and we need to bring someone in. I think there's going to be a lot of that this year, because you might have to change out players on the fly this year, and you're going to want guys who know your system.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that, though. I don't know how you tell a guy, I can't pay you, but just go home and stay there. You can
say there might be an opportunity later for you. Obviously, before we'd sign you again, we need to make sure that you test negative.
Yeah, a lot of interesting scenarios that every one you look at and it just kind of blows up into something else. But and also I think training camp, assuming it's going to be less, it's not going to be a conventional training camp where you go in and on day three, you're hitting, doing goal line and short yardage. I think it might be geared a lot more toward getting ready for the season than looking at younger players, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, your evaluation process is a combination of spring and summer. This summer means more, but they'd already have an idea of which younger players they liked. Honestly, and some of it you can't really tell without pads. You can't tell a ton in shorts and helmets. But without that part of the evaluation process already, you're right. They might just, and that also carries over to battles, right? Like training camp battles that we always get so excited for. There might not be time for some of these. You know, I'm excited about some of these battles. I'm excited to see if Sidney Jones can beat out Avante Maddox for the second cornerback spot. But if they're in a mode where they say, we just have to get ready for the season with the guys that are in those first spots now, and I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, they might show up to training camp and say, Avante, we got to go with you. We got to make a decision early on this and just get ready to go. And there are a few positions like that, linebackers like that, the third tight end. You know, they brought in Noah Tagoa, our favorite player. But they have Josh Perkins. They know what he can do. There's a lot of positions like that. Guys fighting for roster spots or starting gigs that they might not have a chance they normally have.
Now, one thing to remember is that any change like this to go from a 90 to a 75 or 80 man roster has to be collectively bargained. So it's got to be something that the owners and the Players Association all agree to. And I would guess that if they do cut the roster, that there would be some sort of, and I don't know, they're going to have to be creative with this, but there would be some sort of, you know, accounting for the other 15 guys. Maybe, you know, that you retain their rights somehow. They don't go to practice. They get paid a stipend to, like you said, to stay in town. You know, a quarantine list, you know, like a taxi squad, a quarantine list. And you have one or two guys at every position. You still have their rights, but they're not getting their contract. I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to account for this.
Yeah. That's an interesting part of this, because on its face, the NFLPA is not going to want 15 guys per team to lose their jobs. That's kind of why there's a union, right? But on the flip side of that, this is a safety thing, and they have to fight for their player safety as well. So you're right. There might be some kind of middle ground, and they'd have to figure that out.
Plus, I'm not sure how committed the NFLPA is to that portion of the roster, as opposed to keeping the top, you know, guys, the highest paid guys who are getting the agents all the money, keeping those guys safe and healthy.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You know, and we look back at history of the PA and negotiations with the league. And the best example of that is the rookie pay scale. You know, when that came into effect in the 2011 CBA, that was designed so that veteran players would then get more of the salary cap percentage. So you're right. I mean, that Players Association has a history of fighting for their more veteran players, which only makes sense, honestly.
Hey, enjoy a safe, contact-free experience at Mercedes-Benz of Fort Washington, Westchester, and Atlantic City. Schedule your appointment now by calling or visiting our website. It's a safe experience. It's quick. It's the best way to own a Mercedes. It's your Mercedes, your way. Visit yourmercedes.com.
So while we're talking about all these possibilities and teams trying to figure out how to handle training camp in the season during the COVID-19 era, I have an interesting thought here, and this is not an original thought. It comes from actually Bruce Arians. He was with Chris Long on Long's The Green Light podcast. This was a while back, and they talked about the possibility of quarantining a quarterback in case they needed him for the season. And Arians said, yeah, I mean, that's something that I'm thinking about. So, you know, that podcast came out, and then about a week later, maybe even less than that, we talked to Doug Peterson, and I asked him about it, and he didn't shoot it down. And he said, you know, that's one possibility that, you know, we have to think about all the positions, but let's face it, quarterback, and this is me talking now, quarterback is the most important position in the game and in all of sports in North America. So I think there is a thought that that wouldn't be such a bad idea.
Yeah, you keep Nate Sudfeld safe and secure outside, because the way meeting rooms are, and I understand they're, you know, they're going to have guys more spread out. But, you know, if Carson gets it, Sudfeld's getting it, and Kyle Ouellette is getting it, and, you know, Jalen Hurts or whoever you have is you know, most likely going to get it. So you keep him away. It's crazy to even think about, because if you have to play him, now you're playing a guy who hasn't been to practice or in meetings. Nate Sudfeld's thrown like 20 passes in his life. He can be out there. So you're getting to the point where, you know, I mean, there's just some crazy things to think about.
Bruce Arians, though, you know, he has a different situation, because he has Tom Brady as his starter. And then the two backups there are Blaine Gabbert and Ryan Griffin, who were both with him in 2019. So it's a little easier for Bruce Arians to say, it's probably going to be Ryan Griffin, I would guess, a third stringer. Say, hey, Ryan, you're our guy that's going to be quarantined.
You don't think he'll beat up Brady?
I don't think so. He's the guy who'd probably be quarantined. The Eagles can't do that. I mean, they can't quarantine Jalen Hurts. If there's one guy who needs to be in the quarterback room with the coaches around Carson, it's Jalen Hurts. So their best option would probably be Nate Sudfeld, someone who's been here for a while, knows the offense, probably won't gain as much from being in the meeting rooms as Jalen Hurts. I guess they could do it with Kyle Ouellette, but And this is no disrespect to Kyle Uletta, but if the season comes down to him, you're in a bad way already.
Yeah. I just feel like, I mean, it makes sense, certainly, but I just feel like if your quarterback, if your starting quarterback tests positive, gets COVID, most likely your running backs, your offensive line, your receivers, your tight, you know, what are the odds he's the only one that gets it? So I don't know. Certainly makes sense. It's an interesting thing to think about, like all these other things. And I also feel like between now and, you know, the end of the month, all this stuff we're talking about is going to change, you know?
Yeah, more, I mean, that's fair to say.
You know, it's like the stuff that seems so important one day, the next day it's like, oh, yeah, that was – there's something new now. There's a new challenge. So, you know, we'll see what happens. If there was a way to keep an entire franchise in a bubble and quarantine everybody and test them every day and have 100% accuracy on the testing, you can have a season. The other thing I know they're talking about is, and we haven't mentioned this, is – teams flying in and out in one day and not staying in a hotel for road games.
That makes sense.
It does make sense. I mean, it's got to be exhausting, but, you know, they're in a charter and they can sleep on the plane. But, I mean, you would fly in, you would bus to the stadium and you'd play the game and you'd fly home. I mean, they already fly home right after the game.
Yeah. I mean, getting there and playing a game would be tough, especially if you're on like a cross-country trip. Yeah. To get off a plane and then go play a football game. I know, like me, I get off a cross-country trip and I try to walk through the airport and it's hard, you know? So it's not a perfect plan, but yeah, I think anything to limit exposure, you have to at least look into.
They did that kind of with London in 2018. I think they flew in and went right to the practice field.
Mm-hmm.
I think we met them there. I think they flew in overnight and had a morning practice in London without, you know, none of them had slept. So, I mean, it can be done, but, you know, we're changing so much of the tradition of the game. And I mean, you're talking about playing a game without rest. I mean, if you have a 1 o'clock game, what time you get into the stadium? What time are you leaving Philly? What time are you taking off?
Early.
Yeah. You know, you have a 4 o'clock game. I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot to process. And I mean, what we're talking about doesn't resemble closely what we're used to.
Yeah. And the other part of this, and this wasn't on our schedule, so I apologize, but there was a report out there that maybe a possible waiver for fans to sign, which seems like to me, it seems like a crazy situation. Like if you're asking a fan to sign a waiver, maybe they shouldn't be there. But the Eagles have deferred their next round of season ticket payments for those who already deferred them. It's hard to imagine fans in the stands this year.
Yep. It just is. Yeah. I mean, I think the one thing the league wants is, obviously you lose a lot of revenue if you don't have fans, you lose parking and concessions. They want that TV money and they're going to do everything they can to get, you know, to get that TV money to the teams. And I saw an estimate, I think it was on Over the Cap, if there are no fans, they're expecting the salary cap to go down by $80 million next year.
You know, that would be tough.
Yeah. And you know, they're talking about they could set up a system where the cap hits are spread out. There's a lot of creative ways to, you know,
to figure out something. You can't have teams just be like, oh, sorry, you got to cut your best players because they make too much.
Right.
However, they're going to have to do something.
Yeah. And then there's, you know, the whole challenge of college players and next year's draft. And if some teams play and some teams don't, what if the NFL doesn't have a season and college players, what if there's no football and by next year there's this whole new group of college players coming out who haven't played, who don't want to go back to college? I'm sure they'll have the option, but like, no, I just want to turn pro. You know, now you have a supplemental draft. I mean, now you have another 10 players coming in. You'd have a whole new draft next year and you still haven't seen your rookies from this past draft play. It's a lot of
– And it's possible that neither league – plays, you know, if the NFL is to play and there's no college football, there are still going to be guys in college who are like, you know what, I want to leave. I'm ready to leave. Guys who stayed last year.
That's what I was just saying, yeah.
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 No, you said if
– No, I said exactly
you said if the NFL didn't play and college did.
No, I said if neither of them plays, there's going to be all these kids coming out of college who haven't played the last year. Why don't we talk about number 5 through 10 of your most important Eagles?
Sure. So we started this a few weeks ago, and let me just run through the list so far. At number 20, Nate Sudfeld, 19, Avante Maddox, 18, Nate Gary, 17, Dallas Goedert, 16, Derek Barnett, 15, Jalen Reagor, 14, Jalen Mills, 13, Brandon Brooks, 12, Rodney McLeod, 11, Javon Hargrave, and that's where we left off the last time. Here's 10 through 5, Miles Sanders, Andre Dillard, Brandon Graham, Zach Ertz, DeSean Jackson, and Lane Johnson. So let's just go through. I mean, we've talked a bunch about Miles, so I think we can probably skip him at this point. Number 9, Andre Dillard. Jason Peters still not here. It looks like they're going to roll with Andre Dillard. It's a big year for him. I mean, maybe the team will be patient. This city is not going to be patient if he gets off to a bad start.
No. Now, you know, I think he'll be okay, but Jason Peters was – well, it's interesting. I mean, I know, like, just judging by Twitter, which might not be the best way to evaluate fans, a lot of fans – like, JP was great. He's a Hall of Famer, but it's time to move on. I think a lot of fans feel that way. Unlike usually when a popular, really good, older veteran player, you know, gets, you know, they move on from him, it's everyone sides with the player. But I don't sense that this time.
My theory on JP was he was kind of a victim of his own success because he was playing at such a dominant level for so long that when that level slipped a little bit, people thought he was much worse than he was. Like, you have people in the city who I don't think really appreciate how good he was the last couple of years when he was on the field, even playing through injuries and many injuries. He was still pretty good last year. And I don't think he gets the credit for that because it was like it was a drop off from his previous level of play. So I think that's maybe part of the reason. And the other point is just we have smart fans in the city who see his age and they see that the Eagles drafted a kid to play and it kind of just makes sense to move on.
Yeah. And it's been surprising that people see it that way. That doesn't happen, but yeah, I think they'll be okay. I don't know. I don't think he was bad in those three games. It was tough. You know, I mean, you're playing on the road in Buffalo. They ran the ball well that game. I think it'll be okay. I don't know. I know I'm in the minority there, but.
No, I don't think you're in the minority.
You know, our colleague Barrett, you know, Barrett is not, you know, certainly doesn't feel that way. He knows more about offensive tackle than I ever will.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good sign that he's put on muscle.
Yeah.
I mean, not just from that obviously being what he needed to do, but the fact that he did it. In this weird off season to put in that work to gain
335, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, to put on 15 pounds of muscle in this off season, which is what we've heard. We haven't seen him yet, but that's impressive.
It just shows me he's willing to do the work. It's not just the weight and the muscle. It's the fact that he realized he had to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Number 8 on the list is Brandon Graham. And you had mentioned earlier when we went through on the last podcast or two podcasts ago, that you thought Derek Barnett maybe should have been a little higher than 16. Well, here comes Brandon Graham at 8. I still have him as significantly more important to this season just because he's been overall a better player. He's meant a lot to this team. He led
the team. That's why I think Barnett should be higher because I think you're going to get – we know we're going to get 7 or 8, 9 sacks from BG. Like, you know what you're going to get from him. But Barnett, you know, I think we don't really know who he is yet.
Yeah, that's why you need that from Graham. You need him to stay at that level. If he drops off, then you're in a situation where you don't necessarily know what you're getting in Barnett. You can't lose your constants, right? Like, you can't lose the guys you rely on most. And to me, that's Brandon Graham. Even when the sack numbers aren't there, he's still disruptive. He's still great against the run. And as hokey as it sounds, he's an energy guy, and you need those guys.
No, I agree that you need him. I think just for me, how Barnett plays is more important because it's such an unknown. But it's – yeah, I see what you're saying.
Okay. I hear you. At number seven, Zach Ertz, kind of along the lines of consistency. He's been so consistent, you almost take it for granted at this point what he does year in and year out. But he's been their best receiving option for 4 or 5 years now. And they just can't lose that production. I mean, it can drop if other guys kind of carry some of the load. If they get more from the receivers this year and Zach Ertz has less than 88 catches, great. You know, that'd be great if he didn't have to shoulder as much. But they still need him to be a go-to for Carson Wentz. Those two have been a really good pair over the last few years.
Yeah, you know, Carson's completed 303 passes to Zach Ertz, and that's twice as many as anyone else. I think Nelly's second, like, at 156. So just about twice as many. And
it's crazy, but when you think about it, you're like, oh, of course. Like, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And they got to do everything they can to keep him, and I think they will.
Okay. Number six, DeSean Jackson. And I like this spot for him because what a tease last year was, because he was so good in that first game. He was going to change this offense, and he did for one game. And that's really all we saw of him last year. And the offense was different without him. And I know they brought in Jalen Reagor and Marquise Goodwin and John Hightower and Quez Watkins, these other speed guys. A lot of question marks with those guys, to be honest. You don't know if Goodwin's healthy. You don't know if Jalen Reagor or the other two rookies will be ready to contribute right away. You know that if DeSean Jackson's healthy, he still has game-breaking speed. He's still the best deep threat in the league, maybe of all time. So you just need him. You hope that he stays healthy if you're the Eagles. That's all it is.
Yeah. I thought he was going to have a huge year last year. I really did. I mean, he looked great in the preseason. It's fun to watch, man. You just miss – it's just fun to watch him play football. You know, I was writing about the touchdown against the Redskins, you know, what, 8 seconds into the game down there at FedEx, the 58, whatever it was, 58-21 game. And we were in the, you know, I mean, our press box in FedEx is in the end zone, just above the end zone. And I'll never forget watching that ball. It was an 88. I think Jorrett Calvin fumbled the opening kickoff. Mm-hmm. And so they started at the 12-yard line. And Vic actually released the ball from like the three, like sitting, and it was coming right at us. We're over the west end zone, and you just see this like this missile coming at you, just soaring through the sky. And you kind of see DeSean down there running. I think Ron Landry was covering him. And I mean, I've been doing this a long time, but that is one moment I remember. I just remember seeing that ball sailing toward us, and seeing DeSean kind of running under it. And he stumbled a little bit after he caught it and scored. And what that guy can do, and you just think about the, you know, gosh, the electrifying plays he's made. Chip got rid of him. But just his Eagles career has been incredible. And it would be a great story if he can stay healthy and have a big year. Because, I mean, I think he, you know, Reagor has a chance to be a good player. You know, you hope J-Jaw bounces back. You know, Alshon's a big question mark. Every wide receiver, but you know, DeSean's the best. He's their best chance at greatness. He's their best
Which
chance.
It's scary, honestly. And we've talked about this before, that they're relying so heavily on a 33-year-old speed receiver. But even last year, I mean, what he did in that week one game, I mean, he caught 2 50-yard bombs. Everyone in the stadium knew they wanted to go deep to DeSean in that game. Everyone in the stadium, and they still couldn't stop it.
Yeah, and those are the two Eagles' two longest catches by a wide receiver all year.
Yep.
And I think the next longest was Deontay Burnett's 41-yarder against the Giants.
Oh, God. Number five on the list, Lane Johnson. The Eagles are a better team with Lane Johnson than without him. And now that they've lost Brandon Brooks, I think it's even amplified more because, you know, they had the best right side of the line in football. And now if it's Matt Pryor or whoever it is at right guard, at least that guy is sandwiched between Kelsey and Lane Johnson. You can't afford to lose Lane.
No, excuse me. And yeah. And he's putting together all-time credentials. All those guys are, you know, Kelsey. I mean, gosh, last year they had 4 3-time Pro Bowlers, 3 or more on their O-line. And, you know, the great thing about Lane, and we don't really talk about it enough, but a lot of people after his second suspension, he was one suspension away from a 2-year, you know, essentially ending his career. And there were a lot of people that said, you know, if he can't be the same player if he's not taking whatever supplement he was taking. And that's wrong because I remember standing in his locker and he said, I'm never taking anything again. I'm never taking anything because I can't trust it. I'm not sure that's the case, but he's proven he can be a great player and still, you know, be not taking anything illegal or banned substance.
And yeah, it's funny. We don't even talk about that anymore. I mean, that 2016 season, I'll never forget finding out he got that 10-game suspension. That was a huge deal, and the Eagles were awful without him that year. I mean, yeah. I think they went 2-8 without Lane that year in that 10-game suspension. He felt awful. He felt like he let his team down, and he used that as motivation. I mean, I think that still motivates him, that people thought that he wasn't good without whatever it was.
Yeah.
And people thought his career was almost over. And since then, he's been the best right tackle in football. He's the only guy signed through 2025 on this team.
Probably one of the few in the league, I would think.
I would think so.
Yeah. But yeah, they're lucky they have him. That's the end of that segment, I guess, because you're giving me that look.
As he tries to find his read.
Your NBC Sports Philadelphia podcasts are now on the My Teams app. Listen, Eagle Eye, Sixers Talk, Phillies Talk, and Flyers Talk today on the My Teams app.
Look at that recovery speed. You're like a regular Leotis McKelvin out here.
I thought we just did. The note I have says 10 to 5, but it was really 10 to 6. So that's the issue.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. You sent me, so I was waiting for one more. So it's really your fault.
No, it was 10 to 5. We did.
But you just Lane said was Lane number, was 6.
No, Lane was 5. Deshaun was 6.
Okay. My bad.
I was right. You were wrong. Let's move on to you had a fun piece. You've been doing these each week, kind of best and worst lists in Eagles history. Last week you did the 10 best assistant coaches, 10 worst assistant coaches in franchise history. This week you changed it up a little bit, went with the best running back performances and worst running back performances. Like always, I don't want you to run through all of them, but what were some of the ones that stood out to you a little bit?
Well, I'll start with the worst, the 10 worst running back performances of all time. And I was amazed. My number one worst performance was by one of the greatest, by a Hall of Famer, Steve Van Buren, 1950. Now, he was at the end of his career. He played one more year. But he had 10 carries for minus 2 yards against a Browns team that went on to win the NFL championship a few weeks later. 10 for minus 2. The third worst rushing performance ever by a Hall of Fame running back. My favorite one is Keith Byers going 10 carries for no yards and a touchdown in 86 against the Chargers. No one will ever forget DeMarco Murray being 13 for 2 against the Cowboys. But my number two was Ricky Waters for what game? You know, he was 17 for 37 rushing. He had 2 fumbles and he short-armed or you know, 2 passes from Randall that he, after the game, blamed on, you know, the Eagles were down 21-6. Said, you know, hey, I'm not going to trip up there and get knocked out. For who? For what? I went back and researched, Dave. I found a bunch of newspaper coverage of that game because I have that newspapers at newspapers.com. You can find all the old newspaper articles. And most people didn't lead with that. It was like buried. Like, oh, yeah, Waters had a bad game. And after the game, he said this. But that night, it blew up. And the next day, they brought him in to apologize, and he made it even worse at the apology because he said the fans booing him. He said I wasn't used to that. So even though his stats weren't awful, I mean, well, they're pretty bad, but not 10 worst bad, but just the whole for who for what. And you know, but he bounced back. He made 3 Pro Bowls. He was a great player.
It's a shame though. That still follows him.
Follows him around.
if you ask people about Ricky Walters in the city right now, they're going to mention that quote.
It was Tampa Bay opener 95. The funny thing is he named his book that. He made his book for Who for What. So it's not like he's running
really from flipping it, isn't it? Yeah.
But I remember I did an interview with him. Gosh, I guess it was when the book came out. He was doing some interviews, and he was great talking about that play. He was a really good talker. I mean, he was a really interesting, you know, engaging guy. And he talked about that day and how much he regretted it and how he kind of devoted the next 3 years to proving to Eagles fans that that's not who I am. And he really did do a good job of that. But like you said, he'll carry that tag around forever. Three guys made both lists, by the way. I don't know if anyone would guess that they would be Wilbur Montgomery, Steve Van Buren, and Bryce Brown.
Bryce Brown had the weirdest career in Eagles history because he has some of the best performances ever. And this is a franchise with some historically great running backs. And Bryce Brown's at the top of every list.
Yeah. Yeah. To it back to back 178 and 169. And then the week later, he was 12 for 6 against Carolina. But I went with Van Buren at the top of both lists because at the LA Coliseum in 1949 NFL championship game, it was a torrential rain. The Eagles had no passing yards in the second half. I found that in the LA Times article on the game. Tommy Thompson had 68 passing yards for the game, all in the first half.
Cite your own work for this? I tried really hard not to.
But he ran for 196 yards in that wow. The rain was so bad that both owners tried to get the game changed. Actually, they tried to get the game postponed, but it went on. And 196 yards to this day is the 10th most in NFL history in a playoff game. So that was a pretty amazing performance. I had to get, you know, obviously Deuce in the Pickle Juice game is in there. Wilbert in the NFC Championship game against Dallas when Jaworski was just terrible. But I had to get Shady up at the top, you know.
Snowball?
The snowball. I mean,
yeah.
Because the thing about that game was the Eagles couldn't do anything offensively. Shady had he had 69 yards rushing through three quarters. He was 14 for 69. And he finished 29 for 217. I mean, he had 148 yards in the fourth quarter in the snow, including touchdowns of 40 and 57 yards, one of only three players in NFL history with two 40-yard touchdowns in a fourth quarter.
And he was incredible in that game.
It was just incredible. And they just couldn't stop him. 148 yards in a fourth quarter. I mean, yeah, it's not that many guys have 148 yards in a game. So
yeah, that'd be a great game.
Yeah, that was up there. But I had a lot of fun with it. And, what do you think I should do next week? I was thinking maybe the top 10 defensive games by Eagles.
Individual
defensive games. But then I was struggling with how to write that in a headline. Like, how do you explain what that is? So we're going to have to work on that.
10 best individual defensive performances?
Too long.
No,
individual, just all right. I'll try that, but I might do that and the top 10 wide receiver games, maybe.
Top 10 performances from Eagles defensive players.
Yeah. Oh, you're still writing the headline.
Yeah, I'm still writing headline.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, but that maybe that and wide receivers, because you can't really do bad games by wide receivers.
Yeah, 0 for 0. Actually, Mac, they'd just be 10 Mac Collins.
It'd be 5 Macs and 5 Nellies. A couple right, Kenny Jacksons in there. You know, actually, with the Eagles, you know, you have plenty of fodder there.
Yeah, you do. But, any big plans this weekend? Holiday weekend?
Might do a little cookout, you know.
Okay.
It's going to be very hot. All week's going to be in mid-90s. But we don't mind that. We're hot weather guys.
I'll take it. All right, everyone, enjoy your holiday weekend. If you like the podcast, do us a favor, rate and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Once again, this has been Eagle Eye presented by Mercedes-Benz of Fort Washington, Westchester, and Atlantic City. For Rube, I'm Dave. Have a great weekend.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. Mm-hmm. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.